Yeah, they're fixed. It's true. They're fixed because they see reality, and there's no way that you can assuage them. When they see that this is, when he saw Gehazi did, and he recognized that he was lying and that there's no way. What's the purpose? What kind of, what was he going to say? I forgive you for what? And he knew what he was, and that's it. There's no change. So he gave him the curse that he deserved. And there's no way of changing it. So he's, Elisha was a hard person. No, he wasn't a hard person. He was a person that's in reality. And that's why there was that breakaway. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva said that when I was Namaretz, I said, give me a Talmud Chacham and I'll bite him like a chamar. Bite him like a donkey. Why? Because there's a hatred towards the Talmud Chacham, because Talmud Chacham is someone that you can't compromise. And you can't, there's no way to change him. He seems heartless. But he's not heartless. It's just that he has knowledge, and the knowledge prevents him from making a change for no reason at all, which is nonsensical. Completely nonsensical. Yeah, our society values that. Our society values a person who changes every other day. I mean, he's flexible, he's very nice. These are very nice terms, but the ethics of the society is based upon one thing. It's based upon what the person wants to see in others in order that he can achieve what he wants. But that's not a real effort. So that's why the Chacham is different. That's why the Chazal say, be careful with the Chacham, look out for him. Because if you want to gain from him, you have to realize, since he's not going to be subject to the same situation as your friend is, you're not going to be able to use those tactics on him. So don't make the mistake. You're going to lose out, because you're going to jump in, and you're not going to be careful. You're going to get a piece and swing that, and it's not going to work, and then you're going to lose out. So for practical advice, they warn you, really, as to what you should, how your action should be with regard to the Chacham. There's one more thing also, in the case of Gehazi with Elisha. That one more thing is, there's another thing. That you should be nizher with the Chacham. That's for a different reason. Because the Chacham perceives things in a different reality than you do. And sometimes something which, there it's a question of violating his words. Something which you don't think is important, he can sense is very important. What was the incident with Gehazi? Gehazi really had good intentions. He figured it's a good time. It wasn't be so terrible. Now I'm going to give a little money to give a little donation. He's very happy. He still walked away very happy, overjoyed. It was worth it for him. No problem at all. Didn't mean a thing to him. Did not mean a thing. What did it mean? He saved his life practically. It's a ras. It's a horrible thing. The Gemara says, and it's sorrows like a mace. Terrible torture. The man walks away. His skin looks like a baby. So the Pasuk says, what's a little money? Doesn't mean a thing. That was Gehazi's idea. It doesn't mean anything to the man. What's the difference? But the thing was that he didn't understand. He didn't have an in-depth understanding of the human psychology. Elisha knew one thing. Elisha knew that if he accepts anything from Naaman, that the energy will have an outlet. See? The energy will have an outlet. Because why did he want to give so much? Why did Naaman want to give so much? Because he couldn't tolerate the frustration of feeling beholden, you see? And Elisha wanted him to tolerate that frustration. Because he knew that if he gives that frustration an exit, then it's going to be satisfied. And in the future, it's going to take away the whole thrust, you see, of the situation, which he wanted to use Naaman for a good purpose. You see, that Naaman should feel that indebtedness. That's what he wanted. And he knew on a deeper level how a human being works. Whereas Gehazi was superficial. Gehazi didn't have an in-depth knowledge of psychology. And Gehazi thought, what does it mean? Well, he didn't understand the short doesn't mean anything. But it doesn't mean anything in terms of Naaman. Of course, he was cured. I mean, what could be bigger than that? He'd give anything. And he's still feeling dead. But once he was able to do something, the action, the mere action, is a tremendous unconscious psychological release. And he was released from any obligation to the situation. There's recognition, but there's a big difference. When there's a recognition, or when there's a frustration, and because of the frustration, he's propelled. He's under a state of compulsion to have the recognition and to act in a certain way from that time on. The Gehazi was superficial, so that's really another aspect of the Chacham. So you shouldn't violate his words, because he perceives a different reality than you do. And the way you think things on the surface, hey, it doesn't matter, that you don't have any in-depth knowledge. He perceives a different reality, and if you change that reality, you're going to be doing a terrible harm. And that's why he deserved a terrible onish because of that. What was the onish? No, his onish wasn't because of his idea. His idea, it was not a bad idea. But the onish was that he failed to respect the wisdom of Elisha. So Elisha said, no, you should have known that if you don't know this area, you don't know the area. So you should abandon all the confidence that you have in your own wisdom and say, look, maybe the Chacham has something here that I don't, this Navi has something here that I don't perceive. And maybe there's some terrible catastrophe can occur if Naaman gives money to Elisha. You see? So that, he couldn't abandon, he couldn't deprecate himself. You see? To the point where he would accept the idea that Elisha's on a different wavelength. That was really his mistake. That was, and that's why he did a horrible thing. That's why Elisha was very upset, and he told him because of that he deserved a terrible honor. That's the story. Okay. The next member is Yirala.
Yirala. Yirala.
Okay, so that was, and the sting of a scorpion, and the poison is the poison of a serpent, and all their words are like coals of fire. Alright. So we explain that we explain what it means that the bite is the bite of a fox, that it means, according to the Rambam, according to the Niyana, it means that there's no way to appease them. Okay. But then we have the last part of the statement. It says, Kol Devrayim Tegachleish. All their words are as coals of fire. Talking about the Chachamim. So what does that mean? The words are called for fire? What does that mean? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Shelo tachlok al divrayim mitzoma. You shouldn't argue on their words and say, Gam yesh bichoch. I also have knowledge. Eseh svaros kemoshon. I'll make svaros just like they do. He says, Ve'in chochma biyodecha. And there is no chokhmah in your hands, with you. U pentechetol svarasecha. Ki divrayim bechidud u pilpul. Ne chokhmosam asorefas bekirba. Because their words are with sharpness and with, pilpul means,
like pepper.
No. Topol means dialectics. From the chokhmah that burns inside them. Okay, what is it? What is the Rabbanian saying? I mean, how can we define? I give him, but maybe you think, look, I also have chokhmah. I also walk on my own. Do the same thing? No, not the same. Because their words are with chidrit sharpness and with dialectical sharpness. From the chachma that burns inside them. What does it mean? Vice of the chacham on the surface. What he's saying is that on the surface, let's say a person goes to a chacham for practical advice. So the chacham gives him advice. So the person can think over the advice and he can say, look, I could have thought of the same thing. Not such an advice. Could have thought of the same thing.
it's possible for the person to fool himself into thinking that he also thinks a lot of times like this. And it may be true that in many instances he does have the same approach. Or he does have the same advice. But there's one big difference between the two. The difference is what the source of the conclusion is. What the source of the conclusion is the source of the conclusion. Many times, there's different. The reason why it's easy for a person to fool oneself is because there are different situations which warrant different advice. But you could have many times, you could have a situation, you could have a person who could think, look, I also remember one time I had the same problem and I gave myself the same exact solution. That's very nice. But the reason why you gave that solution may have been either because it was in line with one of your emotions at the time, you see, or else you happen to stumble upon it, or whatever. There's usually some type of personal reason why you came to that conclusion. Now you can fool yourself based upon that into thinking that you're on the same level as the Chacham, because the Chacham also gave you similar advice in a different situation. Yeah, not so fantastic. But there is one big difference. The difference is the source of the advice. See, the lesson that he says, he divrayim b'chibir u'pilpul. His words are very sharp. Mechachmasam asorefes b'kirbo. What do you mean asorefes? The chachma that burns inside them. Burns inside them means that they have something different than other people, which goes on internally inside the chacham. What is it? It is a certain tenacity, a certain stubbornness with regard to the truth. That's what it means. It means that the chacham is tied to the truth with a certain type of tenacity. He's tied to the objective world with a certain type of tenacity that keeps him locked in there. And it's a constant burning desire. There's a constant desire and an attachment to that, to the objective reality. It's a certain type of thing than the regular person. There's a part of his nature which is tenaciously tied to reality and to truth, and this is the quality which makes the chacham valuable to the person who is seeking his advice, because there are so many different emotions that people have that the only way a person can hope to really to gain an insight into reality is by having a certain inherent desire and a certain inherent attachment to the truth. If that desire is not constantly there, an inherent burning desire, if that's not there, so then the person has a very small chance of ever seeing reality the way it is. And therefore, his own advice says this. Shema Toma Asa Svaras Kama. I also can make Svaras. I also have good advice. I also think very nicely. You should know there's a difference in your thinking and theirs. Your thinking is based on the emotions, and if you have a good mind, you might come up with the right idea many times. The emotions are online, true. But It's not the same source. If the Chacham has something in his nature which draws him to reality and keeps him tied to reality. And for no other reason than the fact that it is reality. And this attachment, this nature that he has, is what makes him valuable. And to judge the Chacham superficially by his advice is a mistake. You have to judge by the source of the advice. That's what Chazal are really telling you in this moment. And a person should not look at the chacham, at the benefits of the chacham, based upon the externals. Because the valuable thing here is not the external. The valuable thing is the internal. How many possibilities the Chacham may have avoided because of his attachment to the truth, because of his chidud, because of his chidud and his pupil, which is Sarefus Bekirlo. He is attached to the world of ideas, the world of thought, tenaciously. That is the and his advice results, his scholars result from that. So you may think, you may fool yourself based upon the surface, but the surface situation is not an evaluation. That's what it means. It means you cannot evaluate the Chacham on the surface. That's what it means.
You could be different between you, but
so that if you rely on your own, so then in many instances you'll go astray. Many instances you go astray. That's what it says. That's the number. Rashi learned something different. Rashi brings something very hard to understand. He means altogether. Rashi is called the Vrayim Pigachleis. So Rashi says, well, Rashi starts off. He says, what is the bite of the fox? He says, this fox has very thin teeth and deep and thin teeth. He says, and his bite is worse than the other bites. And he says, the scorpion. He says he injects venom from his tail. He says the snake. He says he has the snake. He has in his mouth. He has the fangs. It seems that he's talking about. And it burns the person up. Okay, fine. Then he says, in other words, what does it mean? Sum it all up. Kwamar b'chol inyin heim mazikin. La'over al devrayim. B'chol inyin heim mazikin. La'over al devrayim. How does Rashi learn? Rashi learns an interesting thing. He says, why do they give these mishalim? The fox and the scorpion and the snake. It means they'll get you one way or another. That's what Rashi learned. B'chol inyin heim mazikin lo'over al devrayim. They'll get you in any which way, either with the bite of the fox, or else if you're ready for that, then they'll get you like a scorpion. It means that they'll catch you any which way. You can't get away from it. That's what it means. Can't get away. Then he says b'chol devrayim, and all their words is af kalos shebekalos, even the lightest of their words. Porates Gidron Shel Chachomim. He says, a person who breaks down the gedder of the Chachomim. Like, for instance, Yichud Shel Pnuya. Halacha that you're not allowed to have Yichud with an unmarried girl and a man cannot have Yichud, cannot be together. So he says, why? He says, Rosh says, Shestami Shanidei. Shenema Vadova Benidosa. So the man is in Yisrael Yichud, be together with her in a room, closed doors. There's Asim Raisa. He says, but the Chachomim came along and they made a Xerah. The Xera is that it doesn't matter whether she is in either, whether she isn't in either. In either event, the Yichud of Pnuya is awesome. That's what Rashi says. So he would be damaged. That's what Rashi says. And he gives that example.
What is that example?
Apparently, why is Kalos? Because there's no issur involved. In other words, there's no issur involved. What is the? She's not an erva, so there's no issur involved. Midaraisa is no issur involved. Midaraisa is no issur involved. Well, it depends. I mean,
every drabon is an extension of.
Yeah, where's the extension here? Where's the extension?
She's
exer because of she may be an ida. You can't make it there that way.
Right, she says that she's neither.
Neither does Mara.
She's Tahora.
She's Tahora Mara.
So that's the Chachamim.
It's Chum.
So why is that meant to simply an extension?
Oh, it's not an extension. No, it's not an extension. It's not an extension because you cannot say that the reason why they made the Isser is because maybe she'll be an either. That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, maybe she'll be an either? You know she's not. There's no gzera like that. There's no gzera with a tahora, because maybe the situation of nido be. I mean, otherwise, you see, there's no halacha like that. And yishli ishtar is no halacha like that. There's never gzera like that. So, what is Rashi? And I just mentioned a question. I don't have an answer. I just mentioned a question. Just throwing it out. Maybe somebody here could help us work it out. What does Rashi mean over here? What is he? Kalos sheva kalos. He says kipara is gidrim shel chachama. He gives the case of yichud and yichud shel pnuya. What is the building? Mishchasan and shichas shua. I mean, I understand that. Kol over the chacham chayev nisir
gemara. That tape recorder isn't it?
What the basic idea of the
is like this. Okay, all right. I agree with basically. What the basic idea of the memory is, according to, I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah and Rashi are too far removed. They're not too far removed. Rabbeinu Yonah maintains that the idea is that the chacham, you can't judge the chacham by the superficial manifestations. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, because it stems from a different type of personality. Personality which is attached to chachma, and it's sorev b'kirbo means it's a constant. He's constantly involved in people and ideas and in thought. There's a different kind of a person, different type of a person. So this person, the advice is different. The advice is different advice. Sounds the same. May sound the same, but it stems from a different source. And the point is, if you'll try to do it yourself, maybe you'll hit the next point properly, but then the next one you'll fail, and you'll be harmed. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah works. Rashi says something else. Rashi says he brings all these different animals. Why? Because he says that they becholin yinhei mazikim la'avar al-gabran. Because they, in many ways, they will cause harm to a person who violates their rules. Which means to say very simply, that you can't have enough knowledge to know how in particular you're going to be affected by a violation of their rules. That's what Rashi means. You can't have the knowledge to know how in particular what ill effects will result from violating their rulings. That's what the rationale is. That's why it gives the examples of the different animals, because it means to say you don't know which way you're going to get stung, which way you're going to get harmed. So that's why you can't be over on their words. Yes. Rashi's lashon kiparetz gidrin shel chachamim is reminiscent of a phrase that Chazal used many times, and it's an interesting thing. But you know when they use that phrase? They use that phrase bedafka, especially by an easy takana. And the phrase is haparitz gedei yishachen nachash. The person who breaks the barrier, breaks a barrier, the snake should bite him. That's the lashon. That's the lashon that they use. And they always use that lashon by a takana where when you look at the takana, you feel to yourself, going too far already. You're just about to say to yourself, not so terrible. And they put in a parrot's getter yishachana nachash. the same exact lashon. Rashi is associated with that lashon. What's the implication of parrot's getter? Parrot's getter means a person makes a breach. So what? A breach means it's not a very great break. As opposed to what? See, paras getter means the one who makes a breach. Man makes a breach in the fence. Now, a breach in the fence quantitatively is not that great. It's a small little break. But the point is, it's a qualitative break. It's a qualitative change. Because once the fence is broken, now, even though when you look at it visibly you don't see much of a break, but the fact is that once the breach is established, now it's subject to penetration. So that the breach is what makes the area subject to penetration.
Now, what Rashi means is like this, that when Chazal made a takana, many times when people look at the takana, they're short-sighted. Because they look at the takana in terms of takana itself. And the framework of the takana doesn't seem like it's such a terrible thing if you violate this halacha. But they don't realize that this takana was created with a view to a total view of all the ramifications that will take place. And the reason why they made this takana was to close the gate, to make sure to close the area so that there is no breach. And the moment you violate this takana, what you're doing is you're creating a situation where there's a breach in the entire system. Now, why does Rashi use the case of Nida, case of Yichud Pnuyah? For a very good reason. And he calls it Kal Shebekalos. Why is it Kal Shebekalos? Because really, Rashi says that the only Issa Midaraisa is if a woman's a Nida. When she's a Tahara, so there is no Issa. And the Chacham came along and they made an Issa of Yichud with Pnuyah. Now he says, what is Rashi saying? So it seems far removed. I mean, you don't have a Takana for a situation where there is no Issa because there might be a situation of Issa. So what is Rashi saying over here? Rashi's saying that the Issa Pnuya, what is the Issa Pnuya? Why is there an Issa Pnuya really? So Rashi says, because the Issa Pnuya is something which protects the whole area of Arias. So even though in substance it's far removed, because here there is no, it's not, if you have a case where there's a gzera, so you understand the case where there's a gzera. Let's say, for instance, you have midaraisa, malochin Shabbos is asur in a certain manner, midarabon that's asur kalachayad. So you understand that, it's very simple. It's if you're going to let kalachayad, it'll be muta kalachayad, so then you'll come to do the malochin midaraisa in the proper way of doing the malochin. You violate an istaraisa. That you understand. But over here, there is no, it's not an extension of Nida. Because you can't say that you'll asur an isha when she's a tahora because maybe she's a Nida. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So really, the isser of Yichud Pnuyah is very far removed from the substance of Isuri Arias. Very far removed from the substance of Isuri Arias in terms of halachic isser. But what is the basis for the Issa Pnuyah? What does Rashi say? What's the basis of the Issa Pnuyah? The basis is because that's the whole Geder Shel Arayas. That's the whole wall around Arayas. And if a person breaks through that wall of the Issa Pnuyah, then the whole area of Arayas falls. That's Paras Geder. Paras Geder is the Hananach. Yishechen Nachash is right. Yishechen Nachash means a person doesn't expect a Nachash. A Nachash is something which creeps up stealthily and stings, bites the person, kills them. So it means a person who's Poretz Geder, a person who is a person who breaks down the barrier, he will be caught by surprise. He will be destroyed by surprise. That's what it means. So it means in many of the Takanas Chachomim, sometimes there's two types. Sometimes what they did was they extended the Issa Tara. That you can see. So there it makes sense. You see why you shouldn't break the halacha. But at other times the takana was based upon the knowledge of human nature. And in terms of the entire system. And it was a geder. And if a person breaks down that geder, then the whole area falls. Rashi gives the example of the case of Yichud Pnuyah with the, and he compared it with the Issa Nida. Nothing to do with Issa Nida, she's the Torah, what's wrong? But the answer is, if they never set up the Issa, the Rabbanon of an Issa of Yichud Pnuyah, the whole area of Arias would fall. The whole area of Arias, all the Issurim, after a very short time, the Issa Nida, which is an Issa curse, their curse, would become like nothing. Because the whole Gidron Shel Arias would be broken. That's what Rashi means. Even though this Issa has nothing to do really essentially with Nida, but it's the whole geder for the entire system of Arayas. So therefore the Chachamim, when they made Takanas, they had an eye for the system, the total system. Whenever that's the case, whenever it's the total system, so when you look at the Isser does not look like it really is so serious, because in terms of its own framework, it's not serious. The answer is, in terms of its framework, it's not serious. But this Isser is extremely serious, because this is the whole system. It's a protection for the whole system. And if this breaks, this falls, the whole system is vulnerable. That's the way the whole Masakh, and that's what Rashi means. That's why Maisa Mitzvah is so important. Maisa Mitzvah is so important. Because even if a person would say to himself, let's say a person would say to himself, look, my kavanah is not such good kavanah in tefillah, and whatever, let's say I'm not mispalel, not so terrible, I'm not such a tzaddik, this and that, breaks the halacha. The person breaks the halachic system, then it's not just he's breaking a particular halacha. It means the entire system is subject to fall. The entire system is subject to fall. The person must have two considerations in every halacha. One consideration is insofar as halacha benefits him directly in that situation. Even if the person should feel that there is no benefit, even if the person should feel, in which case, which I maintain he doesn't know to be so. But let us say we'd even assume that way. He has an obligation to the system. Horeids get it. The moment he breaks the halacha, he opens up a breach. Once that breach is established, the whole system falls, for himself, for everybody else. That's the importance of halacha. Halacha has to be viewed in terms of two frameworks. In terms of the framework of each particular halacha, and also in terms of the framework of the entire system, of Poreitz Geta. The person that breaks the halacha for himself, and he breaks it for everybody else. Because everybody around him, once he breaks the particular halacha, everybody around him is also weakened. That's a Poreitz Geta. He breaks it for, he makes the situation such where others will be harmed. That's the whole idea of the Poreitz Geta. Poreitz Geta is a double thing, not just for himself. It's for the entire system. It's an obligation to the system itself. Okay. Between the over or the Racham, the question is over the Racham Chayav Misa, like by Kriya Shema, a person who postpones Kriya Shema is Chayav Misa. And between a Poreitz Geta Yishachan Anachosh. Two different statements of Chazal. Yes. Yeah, all of the Chacham Chayav Misa means he undervalues the words of the Chacham. He undervalues the words of the Chacham themselves. So that's Chayav Misa, because he has no concept of the why is a Chayav Misa really? Why is it such a terrible thing? Chayav Misa means why is the Chayav Misa? Because the worst thing in Yadis, is for a person not to have the correct opinion with regard to the wise men, with regard to Chachmei Yisrael. That is the worst thing. Because that means that there's no way that he could have any Rebbe, there's no way he can have any tutor, anybody teach him, and he's completely subject to his emotions. That's the worst of all emotions. To lower the estimate of the Chachamim in a person's eyes. That's the worst, the most criminal violation. Because the whole of Torah depends on Chachmei Yisrael. So, overall, the Chacham means the person says, the Chacham made a takana. Why does the Gemara say it in brachas, really? I'll tell you why I think the Gemara says in brachas. Gemara says in brachas because over there it's an obvious, the reason is very obvious. The reason is very obvious. When the reason is obvious, the Rambam says that the Chachmei Yisrael did not give reasons for their takanas. They didn't write down even the reasons. They didn't publicize the reasons. For themselves they have, but they didn't publicize the reasons for others. Why? Because they knew that the Hamonam, the moment they get the reasons, that's it. They're going to say this reason doesn't apply to me. But in certain situations, it's unavoidable. Like that case with Kriya Shema. Unavoidable. The Hamonam said the reason, everybody knows the reason. The reason is because a person will come home, and he's hungry. First thing he does, he eats. And then after he eats, he's tired, he leans back, relaxes, and he's going to miss Kriya Shema, Kabbalah Sol Masha Shemaim. So everybody knows that that's the reason. Now, since he knows the reason, so the person will always be convinced himself that it's not going to happen to him. He's very hungry now. Desire's there to eat. And he knows he's supposed to daven. But the conflict is there. And the first thought that has to cross his mind is that I am not the same as these other people that the Chum was talking about. I have the self-control. And therefore, I could eat now, and then later I'll daven. That's the emotional conviction. That's the emotional conviction. It's unavoidable. Unavoidable. So what's the answer? So the answer is, there's only one answer to that argument. You cannot tell the person at that time, the person cannot say to himself at that time, no, I'm the same and I'm really going to fall asleep. It's impossible. That's not an answer. There's only one answer to that idea. That's a overall devichachom chayav nisim. Forget about what you think about the situation. But the fact is, you can't deny that this is a takanas chachamim. This takanas chachamim. And to undermine the takanas v'chachamim is, for a person to undermine the takanas v'chachamim is tantamount to denial of the entire Torah. To undermine takanas chachamim is tantamount to denial of kol Torah kula. Because the whole Torah depends on chachmei masorah. And a person who undermines kol Torah kula is chayav misa. That's the only answer. That's why that's why the Chacham said it in that situation. Over the Chacham Chayiv Misa. Because the person, they knew that the person, there's no way that the person will tell himself that the Chachamim were right in this situation with regard to him, because he's convinced that in this situation there is no, it's not the same. In this situation he's not going to be, he's definitely not going to fall asleep. He's definitely going to say Krishna. He knows it. And it might even be true. It's even possible. He can't say everybody's going to fall asleep every time. Might even be true many times. But there's one answer. The answer is, since it's takanas chachamim, since it's takana of chachmei Yisrael, anyone who underestimates the value of takanas of chachmei Yisrael is chayav misa, because he's undermining the entire Torah. It means what you maintain is that this is a man-made law, and therefore it's not as significant as the Torah law. So it's over al divrei chachamim. That's the end of the entire Torah. That's it. Chayav misa. Chayav Misa means, why is it Chayav Misa? Because it's Kofar and Kol Torah Kula. It's the denial of the entire Torah. Once you deny Chachmei Yisrael, once you say Takanas Chachamim, it's only a Takanas Chachamim. It was only a man-made Takana. That's a denial of Kol Torah Kula. Denial of Kol Torah Kula. Because Takanas Chachamim is sanctioned by the Torah. There is no difference in the Chiyuv whatsoever. There is no difference in Chiyuv whatsoever. As a matter of fact, that is really the germ. That's the nucleus of the entire conservative movement. That's the nucleus of that. What was the essence of the conservative movement? It's that one thing. It's only a drabbanon. It's only a drabbanon. Once you maintain that philosophy, it's only a drabbanon, then you have that's the whole conservative movement. That's chayav misa. That's the denial of the whole Torah. As you see, I mean, the whole Torah is a button of football in that system. There's no question about it. All the derises, the full Shabbos and everything. It started with one idea. It's only Drabbanan. That's it. Overall, Divrei Chachamim, the person who thinks that way, who thinks that since it's only Drabbanan, it's a man-made thing, man-made takana. That's all it is. Man-made, look, they're only human beings. It's not really applicable in this case. He undermines the right. And he undermines the value or the seriousness of the takanas chachamim. It's chayav misa, it's kofar and kol Torah kula. That's the only answer a person can tell himself when he's hungry and he has to daven ma'ariv.
Well, the point?
It's two different things. You're talking about different things. One is explaining how the chum make takanas, what motivates them to make takanas, and how they do it. That's paras gedishah and nachash. It's the, and if a person breaks the system, so he breaks the entire system for himself and for everybody else. That's one idea. Another idea is the inherent value of Takanas Chachamim. What is the value of the Takanas Chachamim? Undermining the value of Takanas Chachamim is tantamount to denial of Kol Torah Kula. That's a different thing. It means, by Chayav Misa, it means that the one emotion, what it means by Chayav Misa is one thing. I'll tell you what it means. means that if a person sits down to eat supper before Ma'ariv, it's an interesting psychology. What does Chazal say? If a person sits down to eat supper before davening Ma'ariv, it means it's impossible that he shouldn't in his mind have to underestimate the authority of Chum. It's an impossibility. That's what it means. It's psychologically impossible for a person to sit down and eat supper before he davens Ma'ariv without in his mind emotionally undermining the Chachamim. He must say that. He must say it's only the Rabbanim. That must go through his mind. So therefore the Chachamim say, if he does that, he doesn't know the issue, something else. If he does that, that's when the reason is known, and when, that's the psychology, in other words, when the person knows the reason, he knows the reason why he's not supposed to do it, and he thinks it doesn't apply to him, and he goes ahead and does it, there's one thought that must, one conviction must go through his mind. What's the conviction? It's only the Rabban. He has to, otherwise he couldn't sit down to eat. If he makes that conviction, he's Chayav Misa, because that's the beginning of the denial of Kol HaTorah Kula. Of course, you have to understand when the Chachamim say Chayav Misa, it doesn't mean literally that he's Chayav Misa. The Rav one time mentioned this, but somebody one time asked him a question, Chayav Misa, you know, what do you have all these Misas, Skidus Reifayev Chanek, and you Chayav Misa if you have a Drabanach. So the Rav said, no, it's a different Chayav Misa. It is a different Chayav Misa, but you have to understand what the difference is. It doesn't mean a person who sat down and ate supper before Ma'ariv is actually Chayav Misa. That's impossible. Because Chol Shabbos Chayav Misa for it is, you're not Chayav Misa for every little thing. God is not so strict with people. But what it means is, even here, if you don't daven at all, you're not Chayav Misa. You miss Kriyas Shema, you're over Nasei. But if you're over Nasei, you're not Chayav Misa either. Right? Can't be worse than being voluntary. What it means by Chayav Misa is that since this idea has to cross your mind, you should know that a furtherance of this idea involves Chayav Misa. To your degree, you won't be Chayav Misa. But if you actually carry out this emotion to the nth degree, you will reach a state of Chayav Misa. That's what it means. So therefore, the person who eats supper before he davens Ma'ariv has to think to himself, it's only the Rabbanan. Chacham said, they wanted to stop you. Stop. That idea, if you keep following that idea to its logical conclusion, you'll be Chayav Misa. You're stopping over here. So you're not Chayav Misa. But the fact is that you're partaking of a concept that actually eventuates in Chayav Misa, which means that the person doesn't realize what kind of an idea he's involved with. How dangerous that idea is. That's what the Chacham is like. The area of Poritz Geder has nothing whatsoever to do with over the Chacham Chayav Misa. It's two different areas. Poritz Geder is telling you how the Chacham make takana. Sometimes it's with a view to the particular Isser. Sometimes it's with a view to the entire system. Okay? So the takana is to safeguard the entire system. That's the concept of Poritz Geder. The concept of Ovad Rechon Chayav Misa means in a particular situation where a person will say to himself, it's only a Drabana. That's precisely the case they gave by Kriyas Shema Shel Arvus. It's a different thing altogether. One thing has nothing to do with the other. By Kriyas Shema, it's not Poritz Geder. Because the Takana was not with a view for the entire system. It's because of this particular thing, because the person's not going to daven Ma'ariv. That's it. Plain and simple. It's not Poritz Geder. It's not a matter of prayer. Poritz Geder means that this is the safeguard for the entire system. It's a different concept. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Yeshua says like this: Ayin Hara, the Yetzer Hara, the Sinas Abrios, Motzinas Adam and Olam. Okay, Ayin Hara doesn't mean over here, it's not referring to an Ayin Hara. Even though Rabbeinu Yonah talks about it over here. If you're interested, Rabbeinu Yonah does talk about it over here. But over here what it means is the Ayin Hara over here is talking about the person who would give what people consider an Ayin Hara. Okay? Ayin Hara means like this. It means Pirish Rabbeinu Tegra Ben Yonas Pshat. Misha Eina Sameach Bechelka. Person is not happy with his materialistic situation. Va'oyein es chavero ha'osher mimeno. And he looks at, he eyes his chaver who is wealthier than himself. Mosai, va'omer must be, Mosai yeshar osher gadol. Kamo. He says, When will he ever be as wealthy as the next person? He says, "Vehu gorem ro la'atzmo v'la'chavero," and he causes harm for himself and for his chaver. Now it's interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah over here, he quotes the derivation of Ayin Hara. In case you're interested in the derivation of Ayin Hara, Rabbeinu Yonah over here, he quotes it from the Chachmei HaTeva. Very interesting thing. It's not from Chazal. He says, "Kasha amru Chachmei HaTeva." Chachmei HaTeva means that it's from the scientists of the day. So he quotes them as that it's being harmful to the person that he's envious of. But at any rate, I mean that's not the main gist of the memory. So the Rabbeinu is like this. So v'zer ayin arurah she'omar Rabbi Yeshua. Alright, okay, he says there's two words that are similar. Rabbeinu Yonah says one is ayin ra'ah and one is ayin hara. He says ayin ra'ah means stinginess. That's ayin ra'ah, a person that's stingy. Means somebody comes to your house and you have you have something you want, you save it. You say, well, give this guy, give him this, this garbage over here. Don't give him the good stuff. Save the good stuff. That's iron raw. That's iron raw. That means the person is, sorry iron. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi never ate in anybody's house. Why? Because he says that he knew that people were sorry iron. It's an emotion. Sorry iron. He didn't want to eat by them. Because only one person he found that he needed by that person was very poor. They told him, he says, I'm stuck either way. He says that he knew that people were tsari ayin. It's an emotion. Tsari ayin. He didn't want to eat by them. Because only one person he found that he needed by that person was very poor. They told him, he says, I'm stuck either way. Either people have, and again, I won't eat because I know that they have this emotion. He says, but now that for now I found the person is very generous, but he doesn't have, so I can't eat. So,
you didn't want to be the cause?
Apparently, there's a difference between the Shulchan Aruch halacha of Gezel and between the ethical idea of Gezel. In other words, Gezel in the Shulchan Aruch means you steal from somebody, means you take money from somebody without their das. I mean, like for instance, the Gemara says that Chaverim Hamakpidim Zu al Zu are over Gezel. That people who are friends and they live in close proximity, like I guess like in the yeshiva a bit. So if people, if they're makbid, in other words, they have food, and they're makbid, they have things, and they're very, each one is very makbid on his thing. He doesn't want anybody to take it. So the Gemara says, therefore, they're all overgezel. Because each one's taken, the other one's makbid, so they're constantly in a state of being overgezel. That's halacha gezel. But tsari ayin, like ayin raw, you're not really overgezel, because the person gave it to you. I mean, even if, let's say, for instance, you come to his house, and you he gives it to you, so you're not overgezel. But it's a halachically you're not overgezel. But of course, the person finally did come to the conclusion he wants to give it to you. But since he's stingy and it bothers him, so he's not really. It's an ethical gezel. It's an ethical gezel. Avida Nasi didn't want to take that. He didn't want to take anything from somebody that can't give it. Can't give. So he says. But the ayin hara, over here means the fact that the person always, he's oyein es chavero, he eyes his friend that is wealthier than him, and he thinks to himself, when will I reach that level that I'll be as wealthy as that person? Okay? So it says, Lasachmod has a halachic formula. Lasachmod, I think, if you look in the Rambam, I think it It has a halachic formula. You have to try to get the object. You have to try to buy it from them. That's the real halachic or sachma. Right. But that's the Torah. The Torah couldn't. That's halachic. But in terms of perfection, this is the. I don't know if it means. It's not. I would say that on the contrary, it's not lo sachma. Because lo sachma means where you want the object that he has. You want the object that he has. You want his house. See? That's lo sachma. Over here, you don't want his house. You want a house like he has. That's the difference. It's a different thing. In other words, you don't want his house. That's not the object that you want. You want his status. You want his wealth, his status. That's what you want. You want to reach that status. No, not his. That's right. That's right. So Chazal say that. So what about this? So Chazal just say it's motziin es ha'adam min ha'olam. Takes a person out of the world. Why? He says, Rabbeinu Yonah says, amachshava hi, this thought, mekalkelas gufo. It's an interesting thing. This thought, mekalkelas gufo, it destroys his body physically. Ki iskatze rucho, because it takes away his feeling of freedom. It causes him psychological. It causes him to have a bad psychological state. Kotzeruach means he's unhappy. Something bothers him. He's unhappy, and because of that, motziyasa min olam means that it. It means physically. He learns physically. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah learns. Rabbeinu Yonah, you see, there's many Chazal are held that way, many, especially Rishonim, have, that they maintain that a person's psychological state has a lot to do with his longevity. That if a person lives a life of unhappiness, something eats him up. So this affects his lifespan. It affects his lifespan physically, and you can understand that it affects him, the quality of his life also. I mean, it goes without saying. Yeah. Certain things affect a person's, not everything that bothers a person psychologically, did Chazal say, reduces lifespan, or affect the quality of his life. But this is one of the things they said, that does it. Well, we have to understand when we get finished why the three things they mention are the three things that do it. Okay, this is one of the things. The next thing is Yetzer Hara. What is Yetzer Hara? Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't explain. I guess everybody knows. Yetzer Hara. So Yetzer Hara means. Yetzer Hara, the Rambam gives a little bit on it. He says, Rova Taiva. Okay. Rova Taiva. So why is that Motzinus Adam and why should that be Motzinus Adam and Olam? And Rova Taiva is Motzinus Adam and Olam. I see Chazal say, not Taiva. It's not Taiva that's Motzinus Adam and Olam. It's Rova Taiva. It means that they recognize that there's a certain point where the quantity of taiva partakes of a different quality. That's what they recognize. At a certain point, taiva is not motzi sodom and olam. Taiva, a person has taiva, he's a boss of a dom, he has taiva, he satisfies his taiva, fine, why should be motzi sodom and olam? But rova taiva, a large amount of taiva, they recognize is already of a different quality. That has a different quality. The quantity over here leads to a different quality. And the third thing is the sinus abrios. What is sinus abrios? So Rashi says, sinas chinam. It means when you hate people for no reason at all. A person that hates people for no reason at all. Just, what does it mean no reason at all? It means there's a reason. But there's no reason externally. There's an internal reason. That's sinus abrius. So Chazal say these, Rabbi Yeshua used to say this every day. This was one of the things he used to say all the time. Because here Chazal talking about the things he used to say every day, because of, there was a reason that they said it every day. They felt that these ideas must constantly be gone over in a person's mind so that he shouldn't allow them to distort. He shouldn't allow these emotions to distort reality. It's something which requires constant going over. Constant chazara. That was Rabbi Yeshua's. That's what Rabbi Yeshua did. These three thoughts. An interesting Rambam on this. The Rambam says, what is the sinas abrios? So, Rabbeinu Yonis is kapshuta. Sinas abrios, everybody else is. They hate people for no reason at all. And the Rambam, however, goes off completely on this. He says, it's called Roa HaNefesh, he says. He says, V'hu chuli ha-mora ha-shchora. And this is the illness of bitterness and blackness. She'yovi adam limos ra'os enov, that it causes a person to despise that which he sees, the people, the yisna'ehu, and he'll hate them, the yetev lo chevra sachayos, and he'll prefer to live with the animals. This bodedus b'midbaros, and like to live alone in the deserts, will be oros, and in the woods. The yivchalo makom she'enon miyushev, and he'll take a place that's unsettled. He says, "V'zeh etzlam lo mitzad precious." He says, and these people are doing this not because of precious, not because they're on a high level. He says that they're trying to get away from people so they can perfect themselves. He says, "Rak l'roa tavosam v'kinasam v'zulasam." He says the reason is because their bad desires and their envy of others. He says, "Elu yamiswas adam b'li safek." Is these will definitely kill him. Kiyechala gufo v'yomas taramita. Because he'll become sick and he'll die before his time. What is he talking about? It's an interesting thing. What is the Rambam talking about?
Hermit.
A hermit. A hermit. Psychology of a hermit. Yes. The Rambam held, at any rate, getting back to the hermit. The Rambam held that the hermit was that the reason why the person becomes a hermit was because, he says, Roa taivasam the kinasam bezulasam. It means the Rambam says, can't tolerate identification with other people. Can't tolerate identification with other people. Why? Because the identification with other people causes him pain. Because he sees that he's not on their, if he identifies with them, so then he becomes very envious of them. Because he sees he's not on their level. So he's a competitive person, but he's a competitive person who lost the competition. You see? And since he lost the competition, he has to completely remove himself from the situation of the competition, because it's too painful for him. So therefore he imagines nobody else exists in the world, and only he exists, and therefore and that's why he goes away and lives in the deserts. Lives in desolate places. That's what the Rambam says. Rambam says he's worse. I'm sorry, I said the Rambam says Kiyach LeGufa. I see that in the original, in the translation, that they go back to the original, it doesn't say Kiyach LeGufa. It just says Areika Leila Ma'abdin Asadam Ali Safa. That's what he just says. It destroys the man. It doesn't say how. Rambam doesn't say how. Okay? But at any rate, what it means is, in the Rambam's example of the hermit, what the Rambam is saying is that the man, either way, is destroyed. In other words, it leads him to a situation. Sometimes a person can find a remedy for a situation. He has a problem, so he can find a remedy for the problem. But sometimes the problem demands that he makes a move from which there's no either alternative. He's destroyed. That's what the Rambam means. In either event, he's destroyed. Whether he stays in the society, he's destroyed, because he can't tolerate the comparisons. The comparison destroys him. He can't tolerate comparing himself to others. And when he runs away, he's destroyed. So the solution to the problem just puts him in another situation where the problem is just as great, and there's no way for him. There's no escape. There's no escape. That's what the Rambam means. Either way, he's destroying himself.
Would he be better off emotionally if he stayed inside? I mean, emotionally, he'd probably be worse. Probably better off emotionally if he goes away, I assume, because the emotions drive him away. But then he has other problems. Then he's destroyed. It's motius odum and olam. He definitely destroys the man. Yes. These hermits usually have tremendous egos. I mean, they usually set themselves up as the standard of the whole world. I mean, they are the sum total of all human knowledge and existence. That's usually the way they think of themselves. I mean, apparently they... What? I am. Why do these three things destroy the person? Why do these three things destroy the person? Why only these three? I mean, listing a lot of things. Why these three? Yeah. In other words, where a person is oyen hesed, why does he look at that other person always? Why is that other person the standard? Because the other person is the one, he senses somehow that the other person is the one that got something that he didn't get. He was more favored. The other person was more favored. And therefore, his whole life is trying to become the favored person that the other one is. That type of thing, Chazal say, is an inherently frustrating situation, and he'll spend his whole life like that. He'll never be able to satisfy it. Motzias Adam in Olam means something which is a constant gnawing situation where there is no satisfaction. Where a person has taiva, it's not something which is a constantly gnawing situation. He has taiva, he has desire, he satisfies it. But where a person inherently never reaches satisfaction, something which is inherent frustration, that's where the person is destroyed. In the first case, the Ayin Hara, in Chazal, what they were saying was like this, that phenomena where the person looks at the other individual and sets the other individual up as a standard, it's a certain psychological phenomena in which the person always feels that somebody else was favored, was more favored. He always has to have two parts. He always sets up somebody else as being the more favored one, and then he's constantly striving to become the favored one, just like that other person. That's the way he works. That psychological framework, you see, that framework is one which lends to inherent frustration. Since it lends to inherent frustration, you can never be happy. That's one framework. It's a phenomenon. The second one is Rova Taiva. Rova Taiva means that... Rova Taiva means like this. You see, there's always in Taiva, really... In Taiva, there's two things. There is in Taiva the real Taiva, which a person needs. A person's hungry. Yes, it's Taiva. But then in Taiva, there is the fantasy. The fantasy means that the person is searching for something which the Taiva does not have to offer. Taiva doesn't offer that. And that's why as soon as he partakes of the Taiva, he's on to the next Taiva. There's disappointment. He imagined this is going to make him extremely happy, and it doesn't. He's on to the next one. Now, really, there's a balance here, because nobody has pure taiva. If a person just had pure taiva, it would mean he just actually wanted what he really needs. That would be it. There's no such phenomenon. Since the person is a psychological being, so there always is the fantasy. So there's always a combination. There's a certain amount of reality and there's a certain amount of fantasy. What Chazal say is, it shows you there's a certain balance, in other words, between the fantasy of Taiva and between the reality of Taiva. If a person is within a certain range, then he can have a good life. There is a certain amount of real satisfaction that he has and a certain amount of fantasy. But if it reaches a degree where the fantasy becomes the essential, the main mover in the situation, it becomes the fantasy, then he's caught up. That's not just simply it's not a quantitative difference from the rest of humanity. It's a different quality. It means that there is an inherent underlying frustration which is constantly trying to be satisfied. And and the relationship between the real taiva, realistic taiva, and between the fantasy taiva is broken. And it leads to a situation where extreme amounts of energy are going to be put into this area. And extreme amounts of energy with extreme amounts of frustration. To the point where the person's life is miserable. See, Chazal recognized one thing. They recognized that in psychology, in human psychology, the way the person, the way the person's life works out, depends upon, a lot upon, quantitative factors. How much energy goes into a certain phenomenon. Now, Chazal were pointing out over here that when the energy reaches the point where it's rova taiva, it means that there's a tremendous amount of fantasy involved and very little actual physical satisfaction. So it means that the man is being driven by a tremendous forces, unconscious forces he's not aware of. You see, fantasy forces. If it reaches a certain proportion, then the person is in a state where more energy keeps pouring into this area, more frustration, till he has a miserable life. A person's life, whether a person's life is happy and miserable, is dependent very much on the quantities of energies. A person can tolerate pain. A person can tolerate being unhappy. A person can tolerate a lot of situations. You see, a lot of situations which are not, which are untoward, which are not precisely the way he wants. But it's a matter of the quantity. A matter of how much. A certain amount, a person can tolerate. But once it reaches a certain proportion, then his whole life becomes a misery. Person is happier, his happiness or his misery depends on the quantitative factor. How much? Person can be can tolerate pain, a person can tolerate many untoward things, many untoward events. But how much? Once he reaches a certain point, it becomes intolerable. What Chazal was saying here is that if the energy involved is, the ratio is such that it's rov ataiva, it means that he's involved very much in his fantasy, that means extreme amounts of energy are going to be put into the situation. If it's extreme amounts of energy, then it's going to be an intolerably frustrating situation. Everybody has frustration, because in every type of this frustration, it's true. But if it's not to such a tremendous degree, the person can have a good life, because he can tolerate the frustration and the rest of his life is enjoyable. But if it reaches a certain proportion, you see, it reaches a certain proportion where it becomes an obsession, the obsessional proportion, that's when the whole life becomes miserable and his life is worthless. Just one series of frustrations after another, it becomes one endless misery. And his life is completely worthless. Unless there's a point, there's a quantitative point. That's why Chazal said rova taiva. Taiva itself doesn't take a person out of the world. Rova taiva, they're most. That's really what those two things are. Okay? What's the last one? The last one. The sinus abrius. Sinus abrius means where he blames others. Usually sinus abrius stems from a person projecting onto somebody else his own shortcomings. He blames them for his problems. There's envy. I mean, there's a lot of things involved in sinus abrius. No question about it. A lot of different emotions involved in sinus abrius. Essentially, what's at the root of sinus abrius, of course, is the fact that the person cannot identify with anybody else on a basic level. I mean, he feels inherently different, and he's exclusive from everybody else, and there's tremendous amounts of hatred that are going towards other people. But really, what Chazal is saying is like this. What I think Chazal is saying is that there's a situation, sinus abrius really shows you that there is a hatred from the past, you see. Some hatred, an unconscious type of hatred that he's not in control of. Because when a person hates the abrius, a person has sinus abrius, nobody walks around saying, I have sinus abrius. There's no such thing. A person hates the abrius will always find reasons why these people are no good. Always. But if you listen carefully, you'll find the person that has sinus abrius, all of a sudden, first talk against this one, against that one, you'll see after a while there's a pattern. Everyone's no good. See? The sin extends towards everybody. It's a general sinus abrius. But of course, the person that has that sinner, you see, the person that has that sinner is not going, it doesn't sense it as a sinas chinam. He thinks it's real. He thinks it's real. But the sinus abrius stems from a frustration of hatred, an inner frustrated hatred that he has, that never really had to do with reality. And it'll, the hatred is, since the hatred was never expressed towards any reality, see, all these cases are cases where the person's emotions can never, are never really in reality. They relate to reality in a totally distorted way. Like the case of the taiva, rova taiva, it means that the man is after, there's some fantasy which is plaguing him. So, and he relates to reality, he just grabs onto reality to try to satisfy it. But inherently, he's related to a fantasy. There's a fantasy hatred also, which means that the person has an inherent hatred, a certain type of situation where there's something that is causing him to have a hatred which is not, which has never seen reality. It's unrelated to reality. And since it's unrelated to reality, it will set itself up on any person that comes along. Anyone that comes along will set itself up against that person. It's an inherent hatred, frustrated type of hatred. So really what Chazal was saying is like this. Chazal was saying really like this. That there's, in man, there's three types of frustrations. Three areas of frustration. One area of frustration is that he feels that someone else is more fortunate than him, that somebody else has is being favored by God, by is being favored by God more than him. You see, that's the one who looks at the other person, always checks to see what the other person has. He has that feeling. He has an underlying feeling. That's one frustration. The second frustration that a person has is in the area of the frustration of Titus. That's the second. And the third frustration that a person has is a frustration in the area of hatred, of sin. A person has everybody has unconscious hatred. But when it reaches the point, you see, Chazal, the main point in the Chazal is that there's a quantitative factor that leads to a certain quality. There's no person, I don't think there's a person in the world that doesn't have any of these things that Chazal is talking about. In terms of qualities, a person doesn't have taiva, a person that doesn't have sin, I mean, it's an impossibility. It's an impossible. And also the first case where a person doesn't sense, look at somebody else, he senses, even kids, I mean, kids do this, children do this, you observe. So you see that it's something which is part of human psychology. What Chazal are mentioning is that this type of a phenomena is something which is, if it reaches certain proportions, then it will make a person's life miserable. And what they said, basically what Rabbi Yeshua said is that these are the three basic frustrations that a person has in his life. The three basic frustrations are that somebody else is being more favored, the fantasy that somebody else is being more favored, fantasy with regard to one's own taivas, and also a hatred which doesn't have any basis in reality. If it reaches the level of a sin, of sinus abrios, which means that the hatred has already reached a level where it's grabbing on to anyone that comes along, it's attaching itself to, then you should know that the hatred has reached the point where it's eating away the person's life. It's reached the level of frustration that it eats away at a person's life. What Chazal maintained was, like I said before, that all these things, an emotion is tolerable. Can't say that, I don't believe there's a person who can say he never had a hero of sin aschinam. Otherwise Chazal wouldn't even talk about it, if there's such a thing. Everybody had passed through everybody's mind, sin aschinam. All these emotions pass through people's minds. But if it reaches a certain level is tolerable. Life is tolerable because he still has areas where his energies can be satisfied. But when it reaches a certain proportion, that's the danger, that it should reach a certain proportion, then the person's life becomes a total misery. That's what Chazal was saying. It was really a statement. Chazal was talking about a statement of psychology. Basically, they lined up the three frustrations in a person's life, and they showed that with the quantitative factor, the person's life will be miserable. And there are people like that. That's their essence. Their essence is sinus abrius. You talk to them, you see, right away, the first thing comes out of the hatred to everybody. That situation is a situation in which the person has a life of misery. Such an individual has a life of misery.
Is that a word, Frank?
Chazal over here, Chazal over here are funny, because Chazal aren't talking about the... They're not, you see, the framework of the Chazal, they're not talking about what is bad in terms of Averis. You see, they're not talking about it. You see, Matzina Sodom and Olam means it's harmful to him. They're not concerned about Klapei Shmaya, what the person is deserves onus or not. They're not talking about it. They're talking about psychology over here. They isolated the phenomena. See, these three phenomena of Yeshua isolated as those are the primary frustrations in a person's life. Primary frustrations in a person's life. And they don't say, however, two things. They don't say what the source of it is, why do various people have it to various degrees, and they don't say either how to remove it, how to cure it. That they don't say. There is, however, there's only one clue that they give. The one clue they give is that Rabbi Yeshua would say this every day. So that he'd say it every day. Well, what does it mean that he'd say it every day? It meant that they felt that an awareness within the person of these emotions, of the operation and mechanism of these emotions, does help the person reduce them and remove them. That's what Yossi Chazal maintained. Because that's why he said it every day. He said it every day, when he said it every day, it was like this. He recognized what the emotions of a person are, what really take hold of a person, but simultaneously with recognizing it, you're freeing the mind from the emotions. And once the mind is freed from the emotions, through the recognition, then you're ready to have a different person. Then you're ready to have a different gabbah. What Chazal maintained was the greatest danger is where the emotions overtake the mind and the mind and the emotions become one. Then there is no gabbah besides the emotions. The mind is simply a tool of the emotions. There is no other gabbah. But what Chazal said, that's why they said he mentioned it every day, these three things, by thinking about it and reflecting upon it, the person recognizes that these emotions are really not reality. Because, you see, I could perceive the emotions with something else. So there's another part of my nature that recognizes reality. Because this part recognizes that these emotions are absurdities, and these emotions really are totally irrational. So that step develops another individual, another personality that's away from the emotions. If you don't have that other personality, then all you have is the mind being under the power of the emotions. You only have one gavra. The gavra is a sonias, a brios, or the gavra is a person that's always looking at the chelak chavero, or a person who's involved in rova teva. The person can withdraw and remove himself from the scene, then he's developing another gavra. He's developing another person. That much you could see from the Chazal. That they held. That's what they held. What the person does basically is he recognizes that it's something which is inherent and something which is unreal. It's unreal. It's an unreal inherent part of one's nature. That much you can see from Chazal. Other things that Chazal did, I mean, we don't know. Because Chazal do speak about Tachbulos Ayetzer, Tachbulos against the Yetzer Hara. Chazal talk about these things, but they don't talk too much about it. You don't know exactly. But one thing you can be sure about, that it has to do with Das. It has to do with das. Chazal maintained that the way for a person to free himself from the emotions is through das and through chachma. That's the way. That's the route. I just want to add one thing. Why are these the only frustrations? Why are these the only frustrations? So psychologists would say, certain school of psychology would probably say, that since the child's conflicts are with his father as a youngster, it expresses itself this way, that he looks at the father as being the one who is the fortunate one. You see, he looks at the father with envy. There's also a certain hatred towards the father. And also he has Those are the two emotions towards the father. There's a hatred, and then there's a, the father's the one that set the standard. You see. Or it could be sibling, but sibling is always a recurrence of the father. That's a, always a recurrence of the father. Right. Recurrence of his relationship towards the father. Sibling is a recurrence of relationship towards the father. So therefore, there's two emotions. One is the hatred of the father. The other one is the desire to have what the father has. And then there's only one other phenomena, and that is this, just the desire for pleasures. You see? So that's why these three things always... that's why these three, you only have these three. Because these are the only phenomena that you have at the at, in the childhood experience. But I'm not saying whether... I mean, that's outside of the Chazal itself, so I'm not saying whether Chazal endorsed it or not, but I'm just mentioning it as a aside.
Sunday, April 21st. Pirkei Avos.
Usually the sinas abrios, which I think that the mission is talking about, and it's hard to prove because like Chazal really are very, very terse. They're very brief, and they don't really explain each phenomenon. They explain them in various ways, but basically the sinas abrios, I believe that the mission is speaking about. To be sinus abrius could stem from a lot of sources. It's basically frustrated aggression. You see, it's broken down into really into three parts. The yetzer hara is the animalistic desires, the basic desires, and the ayin hara is the fact that he doesn't live in a world of reality in terms of his own desires, but rather the desires are set by other people. Desires are set by other people, and the sinas abrios is really personal frustration, the hatred that actually stems, the hatred towards others that stems from personal frustration. But people, when they're personally frustrated, they have a tendency to blame others for their frustration. It's an unconscious process. And this process is a very harmful one, and it's one which could be motzias adam and olam. What does it mean, could be motzias adam and olam? It means that if it's followed to its natural conclusion, it'll lead to total frustration. It'll lead to total frustration, which removes the person from this world. That's why Rabbi Shu used to say these three things every day, because these three things are really found in everyone. Three things are found in everyone. Yeah, I agree with him. But the last two is an no, but it's a separate expression. It's a separate expression. The thing is, the point is that man is basically a creature of frustration. It's inherently the way he's constructed that way. The reason it is so, I mean, Chazal don't go into the reason why it is so. Chazal pointed out what the reality is. Why it is so is a separate study. I mean, there are many, many ideas on this as to why it is so. But basically, the fact is, all thinkers throughout the ages, I mean, great thinkers, great minds, have noticed the same thing. And that is that man really, somehow or other, is never happy and never is able to achieve what he wants, because there's an inherent in his structure is frustration. So that while he is so convinced that a certain thing will lead to his happiness, the truth of the matter is that it leads to frustration. One philosopher said that every enjoyment leads to one of two things. Either it leads to depression, or else it leads to another desire. One of the two, which is true, but the Chazal are pointing that out over here. I mean, Chazal are basically pointing that out, but what Chazal are doing is they're showing the manifestation of the frustration. They're pointing to the particular manifestations of the frustration. The first one, and the first one is the one where people do not live within their own framework of natural needs. but there's a tremendous need, tremendous psychological need, to follow the model of what others consider as the good. See, what others consider as the good. And therefore people spend their lives trying to do things which really are not for them, really not for their benefit at all. And if a certain car is considered the best car, so you have to spend $35,000 to get that car. You may not like it, but you'll tell yourself you like it, but you have to get it. Because this is the car. This is the object that has been established, that this is the thing to have, and you must have this. If you don't have this, then you're not... You can't be, you're not successful, you're not happy, you're not enjoying yourself, the whole world is worthless. See? So the point is that there is an unconscious setting of a standard, even in the area of enjoyment, there is a setting of a standard. The standard is a totally artificial one. It has nothing to do with the person's needs. What does it have to do with? It has to do with setting up a certain competitive, relative type of system, which he has to be involved in. And all these things become just a tool for that relative system. What's guiding him is really the relative system, where he stands with regard to everybody else. That is the main concern. And therefore, what's necessary for him to do is to establish his status vis-a-vis the rest of the world. I mean, where is it? So therefore, all these things are necessary, and he has to live a life that's based on totally on the comparative. And I just mentioned to somebody the other day that there's the idea of a decorator. I mean, a person has to have a decorator. The people that what is the concept of a decorator? Basically, if you know what you want, so you do it. You don't need somebody else to tell you what you want. But the answer is the decorator is not there to tell you what you want. He's there to tell you what other people want. So therefore, you should have that thing which they want.
Even if you don't like it.
Exactly. You're not interested in life. Then you'll like it. If they like it, you'll like it.
But isn't it based on a monetary system?
It goes back to money is right. Because you see, the Rabbeinu Yonah says it's a monetary thing. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's in terms of the monetary. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. It's in terms of the monetary. The monetary is a big thing. Monetary is a big area. So basically, the world of the comparative is set up. And really, the truth of the matter is that most of humanity is guided by this. Most of humanity is guided by this. I mean, if you look at the world, what makes the world function, what makes the world spin, is these are the emotions. I mean, that really are the underlying emotions. That's it. I mean, it has nothing to do with reality. So now, but there's three forms of the frustration. One form is the artificial setting up of the goals, which are based on other people. That's one, which has nothing to do with you, really, with your likes and dislikes. The second thing is the Yetzer Hara really has to do with your personal likes and dislikes. I mean, that's the area where you're speaking about raw pleasure, raw enjoyment, raw taiva. So in that area also, so you think, okay, so that's the area, that's the way to live in. Forget about what the other guy wants. Let's get involved in the total hedonism. And there are people that represent this style of life. Playboy, I mean, like King Farouk, I think, is a good example. The man's involved in simply taiva. That's it. That's right. Does not care what others think. Just pure taiva.
So the Russian government too.
Governments have the same fantasies as people. Because governments are really nothing more than a conglomeration of people. So the same fantasies that you see in individuals, you will see in governments. And that's why you have to have, that's why the conquest of a government of a certain country requires conquest. All these things, exact same thing. The only thing is it's on a large scale. So, I mean, that's why you see that there can't be any perfection in terms of the world society unless there's perfection in terms of the individual. Because the world society is just nothing more than a group of individuals. So the point is, Yetzer Hara means that even so the person will say that you have raw enjoyment, I mean raw pleasure, raw physical pleasure, pure physical pleasure. So the Mishnah says, no, but that also has inherent frustration. That carries with it inherent frustration as well. That carries with it inherent frustration as well. And the attempt to satisfy his frustration by the taiva only leads to more frustration, like I tell you that philosopher said. Either depression or else into desire. And then you have sinus, then you have the sinus abrius. Sinus abrius is the aggressive instincts. The aggressive instincts. The first two are really two forms of the, one is more like a sublimated form. I'd say the business emotion is the first one. The business man's emotion is success in terms of what the world considers successful. That's the first one. The second one is more hedonistic, more down to earth. I mean, basic inherent physical pleasures. That's the second one. Both of them, of course, have frustration. The third one is there's a general result of human frustration is that he has his aggression. It results in a state of aggression and hatred towards other people. Somehow or other, he feels that they're responsible for his problem. Somehow or other. And that's really sinas abrius. Sinas chinam, that's called. Sinas chinam means when you hate a person not based upon any reason in the person. It's based upon satisfying your own need. And that's why people, you'll notice, you see, you have to be very sensitive to this, though, because people usually will not hate somebody without a justification. But if you take a look, there's a big quantitative factors over here. If you take a look at the situation, you usually find out, sure, they won't hate somebody unless there's a reason. But oftentimes, I mean most times, the reason is only the matir. The reason is only the matir. In other words, the reason, let's say a person does something that's not correct, does something to you that's not proper, so you'll say you have a right to hate him. But the aggression that follows is not in proportion with the crime committed by the other person, usually. But the hatred towards the other person is in proportion to the frustration of the individual. That says a pasuk in Mishlei says potemayim reishis madam. The pasuk says that a person if he just pulls the dam, removes the blockage by the dam, tremendous, all of a sudden, this tremendous overflow. This does a little action. Pulls out the stopper, the dam. So all of a sudden, tons of water, hundreds of thousands of pounds of pressure are released. What does it mean? So he says, that's the way, Shlomo Malach says, that's the way a person begins a fight. Only one little thing. There's one little thing, and that's it. What happens is really, because in man, the frustration is always there, tremendous forces of frustration. All you have to do is just one little action. One little action, you justify the person to unleash his aggression, and the aggression and the hatred is unleashed in tremendous quantities, not in proportion to the violation committed by the other person. That's the pasuk. Potem mayim reishis madam. So that's really the sinas chinam. The point that Rabbi Yeshua wanted to make was that in all these areas, the tendency in man is to try to follow the desire to satisfaction. That's the tendency in man. A person thinks that if I have this object, then that's it, I'm going to stop there. See, that's it. Or if I need this taiva, and then I'll be happy. Or if I could only get even with this person, that's all I want, just to get even with this person. All these things, Rabbi Yeshua says, really, if you follow them more, if you keep on following them to their natural conclusion, you'll find yourself out of the world. Motzina Sodom and Olam. Because the rate of frustration increases as the satisfaction and the involvement increases. And there's a ratio there. The ratio is the more he satisfies, the greater the frustration. So that eventually it'd be motzias adam and olam. So therefore, it's wise for a person to try, insofar as he can, to limit the desire, to stop it at a certain point where it doesn't destroy him. Because to follow it through leads to a state in which he's in which the frustration only increases. Frustration only increases.
What happens when it isn't so?
What? I'm not going to go into completely why it is that way. But a little bit, I think we can venture beyond the statement of the Mishnah to the source of why the phenomenon is that way. You see, you have to realize that...